This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. MLive has released an investigative report on large releases of PFAS chemicals still happening around the state. These releases are hundreds, thousands of times higher, and in one case, tens of thousands of times higher than the federal guidelines. That report was written by Paula Gardner and Garrett Ellison. Paula Gardner joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks, Lester.
While there are lots of PFAS chemicals, two are the most common, PFOA and PFOS. You were looking at levels of PFOS in wastewater treatment samples. First, how did you get the documents showing this is happening?
Oh, it started months ago. Honestly, it started even before I started gathering all of the wastewater treatment plant information. I ended up going to the Lapeer Plating and Plastics to look at the situation there, thinking that it would be a sidebar to a report that we did back in July. And I realized I just didn't have enough information to write that article. A couple months later, maybe 6 weeks later, I found out that there was a discharge from Wixom that was affecting the Huron River in Ann Arbor. And I ended up, through trial and error, requesting a number of documents to help me figure out how much was going out in that instance. And then when I kind of connected the dots to the state actually testing the wastewater treatment plants, I recognized that that documentation would live in all of the wastewater treatment plants that they were testing. So we started the process probably early September.
Do these wastewater treatment operations know the sources of the PFAS contamination?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing to me. The state started planning to look at the wastewater treatment plants back in February, and what they found was PFAS. And then so they went to the wastewater treatment plants and told them that not only do you need to test your own water, but we need to figure out what's coming into the plant. So they had them do a survey of all their licensed industrial customers. And that was a very mild process early on. It was like an intellectual exercise. They just had to go through things and say, well, they might have the PFAS, they might not, you know, and come up with their list of possible and probable causes. But as things progressed, and especially as some of the more higher levels became apparent, they ended up starting to test all of the platers, all of the certain types of industry, and it's snowballing from there. They're still testing. There are some treatment plants that haven't even finished testing all of the likely candidates yet. So it is still going on.
Yeah, you mentioned platers. What kind of factories are mostly releasing these high levels of PFAS into the sewers?
Yeah, it's the chrome plating industry that's mostly responsible for it.
The chrome plating, like the stuff we see on cars?
On cars, yeah. We all love our chrome, you know, our trim inside. Most of that is actually not solid metal anymore. It's chrome plated plastic, and there are a number of companies around the state that do that. There's other types of plating, too. They're making, like, gears for industrial equipment, things like that.
So are they still using PFAS?
So that's an interesting question. They have to use a chemical in their electroplating baths and in their production facilities that is, like, on the surface of the liquid to control the emissions from those baths of the dangerous chemicals in there, like the hexachrome. They don't want people breathing that in the plants. So the order has been that they have to have this surface chemical. And up until, you know, a few years ago, they were able to use the PFAS-related chemicals. They were told that they could not do that anymore. But they still use PFAS, PFAS-related chemicals. Some of them are considered okay. Some of them are being looked at now. None of them are regulated. And most of the platers will tell you that the PFAS-free chemicals that might be available actually don't work very well. And by not working, it means putting their employees at risk because of the other chemicals. It's an interesting situation for the platers. So they don't actually use the PFOS anymore, but the belief is that it still exists in their system. And there's also some speculation that the chemicals that they are using may turn into it during some sort of a chemical reactive process.
So this might not be just PFAS clinging to the sewer pipes or the outlet pipes. They might be actually inadvertently manufacturing PFAS.
That's some speculation, and I think that's something that people are worried about. But these chemicals are so persistent, so like cleaning the pipes or cleaning the sewer, you know, all of these things that they're taking or they're trying to do, they're stirring it up, or they're getting a decent reading, and then all of a sudden something else changes and they get a higher reading. It's amazing to me. It's like it's coming out of nowhere. You know, it exists in some little corner of their operation, and it just starts coming back in again.
Has the DEQ shut down any of these plants because of the release of this pollution?
None.
You quoted one DEQ official as saying the agency is working to reduce the pollution that's taking place, quote, without causing a whole lot of extra regulatory oversight. That's very kind of them to the businesses that are polluting, but in the meantime, more of these toxic chemicals are being released into the rivers, streams, lakes, and groundwater in Michigan, and that's where we get our drinking water. Why isn't there a bigger rush to correct this problem in a way that stops this pollution immediately?
I think that's the best question out there right now after finding out all of this and then hearing the answers that I got. Nobody wants to shut down a business, no matter what level the PFAS is read at. And I've seen a number of reactions to that question. You know, I've heard a number of reasons. Initially, they told us before they would name any businesses, and I do want to mention, like, the state has not named a single business that's affected by this, except for Lapeer Plating and Plastics, which is the original one that was found back in 2017. So all of the businesses that were in this report, the state has not acknowledged that they're happening.
So it's only news media reports is the only reason we know where a lot of this PFAS is coming from right now.
Yes. So initially, you know, in a conversation around Labor Day, I was told that they're still confirming a lot of these details. So they don't want to shut down anything where they don't have confirmed lab tests. The lab tests are taking 4 to 6 weeks. There's a ton of lab work being done. The labs cannot turn it around. So there's some hesitation to believe some of the reports. They want to do it again and see what the duplicate test will say. So there's that. There seems to be like a hesitation there. They don't want Michigan's economy to be affected. They don't want the platers to lose business. They believe that it's going to be a longer-term solution, so kind of a steady decline is something that is worth working toward. Some people are making the point that when they used these chemicals, they were illegal. So the fact that they exist now, like any kind of corrective step, is fair.
Not only legal, but required to safeguard the workers.
Yeah, legal and required.
Yeah. Do we yet know how widespread these PFAS chemicals are in the state and how many factories are in operation and still releasing the chemicals?
We determined through our investigation that there are probably at least 50, with another 50, maybe 70, that need to be tested. And that's just the ones that the wastewater treatment plants identified as probable. So there could be some chemical companies that didn't end up on the list, or there might be something else, a paper company that didn't end up on a municipality's list. So this is a good reach, a good thorough look, but it's not complete by any means. And I think they're going to be doing this well into 2019. And when you ask, do we know, like MLive found out, but the state is not telling us how many are out there. There's no aggregate information about how much PFAS is coming in from industry, coming from the state level. And I think that was an important part of the story to acknowledge.
We've heard this story before, too. All right. Paula Gardner is a reporter for MLive. She and her colleague Garrett Ellison released an investigative report titled Businesses Discharging PFAS into Michigan's Waterways. Good work.
Thank you. We're going to keep going on this. It's a scary, wide open topic right now.
Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Lester.